right to one closer to 54, 53, and 70. And the portion on the Zohar found to be the kasha that they needed 54. I really understand what the significance of the 144 people are. I thought they were going to say this. I don't know. But they got kind of Zohar. How did you say that they're Gimel Nun? The schedule is to Mitzvagan, 53, they needed 54. So the Vilna Gaon says that the Teretz is, that means something like that, if it's one segment. And that's why he says that only 10 segments in the Chumash Dvarim, each segment in the Chumash Kenegan, each century of the rest of the scriptural language. And the standard answer that the regular Parshim gives is that Chumash Tzav counts as one segment. Because if Chumash Tzav is so long, somebody else in the space of Chumash Tzav. So they say it's because of the Balaturim. It's first Balaturim on Parshat Tzav, and after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, every segment has the name of Moshe Tzav. With the exception of Parshat Tzitzava. Why doesn't his name appear in Parshat Tzitzava? It's all about Rashi Tzitzava, it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. What he's going to do, what he's going to tell them, what they're going to do in song. He's involved here, but his actual name doesn't appear. But the Baal HaTzurim says that this is a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said at the time of the Chetah Egel, Hashem should be forgiven the Jewish people, but not, he threatened. He said, hey, then it's just Parshat Tzitzava. What's my name out from your paper page? Even after the Shabbat did forgive the Jewish people for the Chetah Egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been punished because the klola that he gave himself was only al Tanai. But yet the Baal HaTzurim quotes him anymore that Kiyum HaTzurim, Afilu al Tanai is Kayem. Even though there was no Kiyum HaTzurim, even though after the Shabbat did forgive the Bnei Israel, but nevertheless, the punishment was Mekuyim on Moshe Rabbeinu, but his name doesn't appear in Parshas Tzav.
Did you go because it's my coffin maybe?
And if you didn't forgive him, you don't have him? So Rechaim HaKol Shei Tzakash on the Gemara. How can Gemara be right from Yehuda? Yehuda says, Lo yechad yoyti levecha v'chatorti v'yob yikol ha-yomim. If I don't bring back the yomim, so then I should be minuted. So the Gemara says, but he did bring back the yomim. Nothing happened to the yomim. So why were I considered the golden and the orange? The Gemara says mikan. The Gemara and Matthew says mikan. We derive from this parasha that kirov kof ma kirov time is kaim. It's on the assumption that the yudim of the kof that me do that me do I outside tell how far. Same thing. How can we prove anything from there? Maybe the reason why was because of the lack of couple. So therefore, it's not Buffalo Mike the time. So therefore, the Chayyim Masal without the Tanai. That's his question. But he answers that you don't require a Mishpatei HaTanai. Tanai couple in the area of the Flawless or in the area of Haravim. You only need Tanai couple in Gittin, in Kibushin, in Mekamenta, those kind of things. But in the area of Haflaw, since it's a din of Ha'odim Yishuah Prakliyamos, that any Neder Al-Tanai, or any Cherem Al-Tanai, or any Klal Al-Tanai, has the status if there will be a Bitla Al-Tanai. I'd say that the Neder of Yishuah, the Nazirus, or the Cherem of the Klal, Shamta, whatever, won't be Chal, because it's Ha'odim Yishuah Prakliyamos. In Kalatar Kula, for example, we view this as something in the Torah. So then you have to adopt the Mishnah Tzav Tanoim to knock down the Tidim. You can't put the Yidin in Kibushin with the Tzavach now. But whenever it's in the area, then you only have flaws since you have a Dibhaz and a Shur Tatliyon. If any Tanai Kolder who is right away categorized, right away classified as a poet. That's the Rechaim HaKadosh on Chumash, that's right there. It's like just in the end of the Reish. In the end of the Reish, in the Reish, in the Reish, in the Reish. It's known in the name of Chayim. The Rebbe quotes that in the name of Chayim. He says, but the Rechaim HaKadosh came before Chayim. He writes in Achumish, the same thing as that. So the Chidor quotes, in the Sefer of Shem Abdalim, he quotes that that's the standard answer that the Mekoreshim give on the Zohar. Why the Zohar claims that there are 52 cities that really should be considered for really 54? And I say, I don't understand. What's the Mayim HaKadosh? 53, right? What status of Tzidin is it? It's Halacha. You can't lay more than two segments on the Shabbat. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that if the people miss the Kriya Sefer 1 week, so the next week they can lay in two segments. Let's say if they miss last week, they didn't lay in Tuma, so this week you're going to Tuma Kisada. If they didn't lay Tuma Kisada, then the next week you can't lay all three. Tuma Kisada Tuma. It says these people, you can't lay more than two segments. But you have to find out the other people. Und dann fängt man mit Nizam ein, bei Jela ist ein Halbinus. Und Nizam, bei Jela ist ein Zweites Halbinus. Und kann ich nicht umgehen, wenn ich allein nur für ihn gehe, kann ich mir die Jungen tun. That's a din. It's a din. They quote in the Peir Ador that the Chazanish was in jail. Chazanish was once in a Havganah, a Lamaan Sora Shabbat. And the British put him in jail for a couple of years. But then when he got out of jail, he missed three of his sentence for a few weeks. He got out of jail. So he asked a few balabas in there and then got it. They'd be nice enough to make a room in special. They should let him speak steadily. One after the other. The whole reason why you don't let him more than two is because it's Kippura. But he said if they'll be masking, so there won't be a problem with it. So he said, why not? Because they were masking. So he laid 5 seconds. Aloha did the same thing, what he said. What's the significance of saying that? One said, two said, I don't understand how we should. But that's what the standard answer is given. That Truman did tell the council one time. Why council one said it? Because the Zohar wants to cover up on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's Klola Lekal. That his name doesn't appear in Parshas Ketubot. The whole standard doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu's name. But the answer is there is no whole thing. Shulman Tisab is really one said, there really isn't a whole thing. It's only half a sentence. So strange thing. And why talk to the Balasurim says that Hilaf Tafna, Hilaf Ram is Kayana, that's why there's one said that's missing Moshe Rabbeinu's event. If you want to have one said that's missing the event, to have Parshat Kisisa, that's what he said. The Chayyid of the Kisisa Hashem Kasafta, you can't, it has his name too many times there, it's too hard to. It's so involved there, it's hard to say, he, you have to have a Yakov, he's out of name. She could say, what's that? So we must have done this, not it, Sada. Of all the sedges in the Torah, of all the 40 sedges in the Torah, after the Chepa Ego, they run from six up to five to Sada. So they say the name of the Zohar Gaon, why? Because Zion Odin only falls out the week of, most of it falls out the week of Sada. Zion Odin is the time that Moshe Abed is given to the face of the earth. The Rebbe, the Banshan, removed his name from the Shabbat to show that his Sedna is the week that Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's not always so. The Rebbe says that most of the time Zion Odin is the Shabbat. Sometimes Zion Odin is a little after the Shabbat. Others have to say, if you can tell, so that his Zohar has a Sedna Chumash, he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. I don't know who he is, Rabbeinu Ephraim. He has it by Sabiyat, somebody by the name Rabbeinu Ephraim. And he writes the quote from time to time, has different comments on the Chumash. I don't know the places of contemporary. Moses, he doesn't say who is. So he quotes a different Talmud. But the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear, why quote this part of the Talmud? Because it says, V'atoh ha-fredi lepa v'ar nachich 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 v'ar nachich. And really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been a kohen also. He really deserves to have kohenut, but he was punished because he gave the Rabban Shlomo Hatana. And now she quotes from the Medrash in the very beginning of Chumash Shmos, Alaar Nachicha Halevi. Really, you were supposed to be the kohen, and he was supposed to be the Levi, because you're on a higher Madrega than Aaron. But because you're giving me a hard time, I'm going to take away kohenut from you. And you just said, Aaron Halevi should have only been a Levi. So really, Moshe Rabbeinu was on fool, so he was sort of punished. That's how Rashi puts it. He was punished that the kohenut was removed from him. So that's why in this parasha they take out Moshe Rabbeinu's name, and that's just as an indication that it's his own fault that he wasn't involved in the. Yeah. It was his fault that he wasn't involved in the kohenut with the bigger kohenut and so on. So he gave it to Rashi on the hard time. I don't know. Rashi prepared the Torah in such a way that it has knocked out a lot of the. Maybe they're Muslim army. Plus, it says that the purpose of the big kohen is to be the first on a chicha l'chavod, only to forest for the purpose of kavod. Well, it says in Shabbos that it's not only big kohen out of the kavod. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Kori the money the kapdusa. Rabbi Yechanan is one, but the Kama is like that. More later in Shabbos, in Perek Kol Kisra, it says that Yechanan covered to the person means two different things. It means number one that people were strong on his love that. Number two, gives the person a sense of self dignity also. And that's also important. Even if the guy's on a desert island, even if he's locked in his own house and there's nobody else there, still if he wears nice to go and he gave in his own self esteem. Somebody told me that the news broadcasters on the BBC have to be fully dressed. You know, they're on radio. And there's no television there. They have to be fully dressed with a three-piece suit with a tie and everything, because the company feels that a person who's fully dressed with a tie and a nice white shirt and everything will speak nicer. Because he will have a sense of self-esteem and self-dignity, and he'll be able to speak like a businessman. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes this entire culture regarding the din of Kol Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there is a din, a pasuk in Rishayim, there is a din of Tikkun V'Yayim. The Torah of the Shabbos Chaimish, and then it says in Kol Shabbos and Mekubash. There is a din of, in addition to the two din of Mekubash, the Rambam says the two din of Mekubash, the Rambam of the Shama, and an additional two din of to inspire from the Divya Kabbalah, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchot Shabbos, then the Kibbutz V'Yayim. So the Gemara says, what's included in Kibbutz? The Gemara says that you have to have special big day Shabbos. Fancier because of on Shabbos than for the weekday. It's not right that people walk around on Shabbos with without any yeshiva. Like people walk around with sweaters, pullover sweaters on Shabbos. In America, it's all wonderful. You dress like that. In America, you dress like this. In each country, you have to dress continuing that thing, whatever is considered properly dressed. Covered Yom Kippur, the Jewry says on that tomorrow, covered Yom Kippur, more boxed on Kippur, because on Yom Kippur there is no Oneg. So in order to make up for the lack of Oneg, there's no Achilah Shdiyah. So because of the lack of Oneg, so we're boxed more on Kippur, and that's why we're boxed more on the script of Kippur. That's what it really is, that we wear a kalos all day long on Yom Kippur, in Balayla, night of Yom Kippur, we wear a kippur all day long, and we have a name, you only wear a kippur, most people have a name, you only wear a kippur on Yom Kippur, and not on Rosh Hashanah. Some places in Europe have a name, that you wear a kippur both on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. But the name, that you only wear the kippur on Yom Kippur, and you wear a kalos all day on Yom Kippur, the Rav once pointed out, and the Drosh is based on the Miri and that Gemara in Perek 12 piece 3, that there's a special additional requirements to fulfill kibbutz on Yom Kippur, more so than on Shabbos, because on a regular Shabbos it's kibbutz on it. So you put half of your efforts into kibbutz, half of your efforts into on it. I mean, Kippur, but there's only kibbutz, so you place all of your efforts into kibbutz. The Gemara says, but Dosh Hashem Yechub B'du Yom Kippur, Shem B'lo Achilu B'lo Shpiyah, there's no on it, so there's only kibbutz, so you have to put more effort into the kibbutz. The Gemara says in Shabbos also, Perek Kol Tisvei, in that discussion about Big Day Shabbos, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Megillas Rus, that when Naomi told Rus she should go down to the Goren, so she told her she should take a shower, or a chas, or a sach, or some similar type of life, so she put on a dress. The Gemara says, Bajadem, if she wouldn't tell her to put on a dress, she would walk in her underwear, she would go naked to the Goren. Of course, you never put on a dress. The Gemara says, no, but Samson, Messiah, Allah, you should live the good Shabbos. And he comes, and that person from the U.S. Roof should be right that a person has to have two sets of clothing, a set of suit for the weekdays and a set of suit for Shabbos. You have to have separate big Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, and if you don't have a separate malbush for Shabbos, then the day malbush that you wear on the weekdays, you should wear a little differently. They didn't have jackets like we wore. They used to have a big sheet that they wrapped around, like the Arabs did. But the Gemara says, before, if that's all he has is one malbush, on Shabbos he should wear it differently. How should he wear it differently? So the Gemara has a lotion that if he usually wears it short, he should wear it longer. That's why many Rabbanim had a practice, that's why they concluded, many Rabbanim used to have a practice, that even though they used to wear short jackets during the week, many Rabbanim always wore long jackets all the time. Going along the road. And even those who would wear a short jacket during the week on Shabbos, and others, they would wear a long jacket. Why? Because the Rambam of the Shabbos quotes that Gemara that says that if you only have one set of clothing for Shabbos on the weekday, so you have to be Mishkana. You have to change it to show that there's some difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Having the Mishkana, because you wear it short, you should wear it long on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That was all right. You used to wear Prince Albert for Shabbos and Yom Kippur on the weekday, you wore a short jacket. It's not exactly, it doesn't even say that in the Gemara though. The Gemara says you should wear different begotten. If you don't have a different set of begotten, then you should be Mishana. How are you Mishana? So if you're always long, you wear it long, you should wear it short. If you're always long, you wear it short, you should wear it long. It doesn't really say you should wear that long clothes on Shabbos. Of course, that's the Rambam quotes that lashon. You should wear it longer. So that's why they were marked with up to wear a different kind of a malbush It should be Yitzchak that it's a good month. So Rosh Hashanah is a nice pose also. That's not a big day Shabbos only.
How about somebody who works on Wall Street, where every day is wearing the exact same suit? So it's a different suit. The Shabbos is the exact same suit.
They should wear it. The Sabbath, you wear a different style. It should be Nikkei, right. So Rosh Hashanah people wear. We wear big day Shabbos always long. And Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about big day Shabbos, it means Kehillah the Gohatzin. It means trousers that have a crease in them, in contrast to dungarees. Years ago, always long, they wore trousers that didn't have a crease, like dungarees that don't have a crease. And on Shabbos, they wore big day Shabbos, big day Shabbos men, Kehillah the Gohatzin, that had a crease in it. That's why it says in the Ramon, in the beginning of Hilchot Tisha B'Av, that there's a minig that on Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos in the middle of the 9 days, you shouldn't wear big day Shabbos. What kind of minig is that not to wear big day Shabbos? Because the Levush is Rosh on the side of the Magen Avraham, on the side of the Aruch Hanukkah, explains why. That the difference between big day Shabbos and big day Chol was that the weekday trousers did not have a crease in them. It was on the reason all week long. They were workers, whatever. They didn't have a crease. And the big day Shabbos had a crease in it, and it says in the Gemara in the end of Maseches Tainis that Shavuos Chol Beis Tisha B'Av, and how many days, the whole 9 days, has the same status as Shavuos Chol Beis Tisha B'Av. We don't wear Kehillah Mevuhotzin. What is it, Kehillah Mevuhotzin? There's a machlokes from Shulchan Aruch what that means. At the end of the year day, some say Kehillah Mevuhotzin means clothing that just came from the cleaner, that was just cleaned, just came from the cleaner, and you didn't wear it yet. So the first time you wear it, that you're not allowed to do that when one is not ready. It's wearing Kehillah Mevuhotzin. And it's sort of close to another opinion of those who are not who called Manshe Gihut Samnika. As long as the trousers still have the crease in them, that they came from the cleaner, the crease is still there, so that still maintains the status of Kehillah Mevuhotzin. So the Ramah is machmas of that opinion that Kehillah Mevuhotzin means even if it came from the cleaner a month ago, but it still has Yehud Samnitzah, the crease is still linked in it, so that's still considered Kehillah Mevuhotzin, and that's what it refers to by Big Day Shabbos. Doesn't mean a special tie, a special hat. It's Lamala Lamar, this hat or that hat, this jacket, the jacket doesn't make a difference, but he wears a weekday jacket or Shabbat Dikah jacket. There's no additional Easter. Wearing Shabbat Dikah Begotten. When it says Jesus not to wear Big Day Shabbos, it means not to wear the trousers that have Yehud some Dikah in them. So today by us, it doesn't make sense that a person, some people are Maxis, but the Ramah, there's only one, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Golden Man, but he did away with the whole minute. There's only, he was a lot of minute, because it's against the Gemara. But the Gemara says that on Shabbos, of the 9 days, even if Tisha B'Av is calling it the Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av is mixed up to Sunday, so the Shabbos is in the middle of the 9 days, you can eat and drink and dress, whatever you want. You can eat and drink, I feel a bus of the yayin, I feel it's excluded Shabbos, the Shlom of the Shaitis. How can you say that he's not allowed to wear Big Day Shabbos? It's against the Gemara. So how can, if you want to introduce Chumrah, that's fine. But you can't introduce a Chumrah that's Kenegra Mitzvah, there's a Mitzvah called Shabbos. And Kol Shabbos requires nice Big Day Shabbos, you have to dress nicely. So how can you violate the mitzvah of Kol Shabbos by wearing dungarees on Shabbos? So there's only one who has Mevatel in it. And that's most of the world. And they follow the Lord, people wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos Kodesh. But some people are mocked to know that. Most of them, you don't wear Big Day Shabbos, they don't wear Big Day Shabbos. What do they accomplish? The suits that we wear all week long are Big Day Shabbos. The trousers that we go out some other time. Unless they really wear dungarees all week long, and then on Shabbos they're going to wear dungarees. The Tzaddik is going to wear trousers that don't have a crease. That's what they're going to do. They don't do that. Some Hasidim don't wear a strangle on Shabbos. On Shabbos Chazon they don't wear because that's Big Day Shabbos. That's not what the Rambam is talking about. Some people have a Shabbos Dikah hat. Some non-Hasidim don't wear a strangle, so they have a Shabbos Dikah hat and they have a weekday hat. On Shabbos Chazon they wear the weekday hat. Because the Rambam said, "Kehillah, Big Day Shabbos, you don't wear." So the Rosh Hashanah said, "That's not what he meant." He doesn't speak about Big Day Shabbos, Kehillah, you call him the Shabbos. He's speaking about Kehillah and Gohatzin. She gives us some liquor, and all week long we wear Big Day Shabbos. Well, you have to walk dusty. You have to buy a pair of dungarees for 9 days. What was that? The Rambam's not talking about such a thing. It doesn't make sense to observe that Rambam is married. We don't observe it. The Gemara in that discussion in Perek Kol Tisa, he also mentions that Tamid HaChachamim, that because of the Kovar HaTorah, Tamid HaChachamim has to dress differently, just like the Kohanim are required by the Torah to wear special uniforms, to wear special outfits, so the Tamid HaChachamim, even though there's no Pasuk, but it's understood that they will be in Kovar HaTorah, that they have to be the Chavad HaTorah, the Balabatim has to be the Chavad HaTorah, and the Balabatim has to be the Chavad HaTorah, by being the Chavad HaTorah,
Gemara says that it's necessary that the Talmid HaChachamim should dress differently also. Even in the weekdays, not only on Shabbat. Weekdays they should dress like Talmid HaChachamim. The Rambam describes, what are the kelim of Talmid HaChachamim? He doesn't wear red shirts, and he doesn't wear flashy clothes, and he doesn't walk with shorts on. He wears nice begotten, nice modern begotten. Gemara has a strange passage. Gemara says, "In Tema, Talmid Chachamim Shel Bavel, Mitzuyonim, Lifnei She'einu Benim Kayu." Why is it that the Rabbanim and Bavel wear special begotten, long jackets? The Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael family dress the same as everybody else. But the Rabbanim and Bavel wear special clothing. The Gemara says, "Lifnei She'einu Benim Kayu." What does that mean? Because the Bavel says pshat because they really don't know how to learn. The Rabbanim and Bavel don't know how to learn. So what will distinguish them between? How can you tell this between a rabbi, an American rabbi, and American Bavel both in the same thing? So the rabbi has to wear a striped jacket and a black hat and a black tie, funeral suit, whatever. He doesn't wear a funeral suit. See, I'm going. Got to wear a funeral suit today. It's on till late. If you don't wear the funeral suit, so they won't know that you're a rabbi. They'll think that you're a Bavel. And everything, so they knew how to learn. So the people knew, well, this is their rabbi, he knows how to learn. The other ones don't know how to learn. That's what the Bavel says, Pshat. But that's probably not the Pshat of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara means. It's they shaved and they told the Rabbanim don't know how to learn. So therefore, in order to let the Balabatim know that they are rabbis, so they have to wear special uniforms and that's so they know how to learn. So everybody respects them as a rabbi. It's very difficult. So others say that perhaps the Pasha Pshat of the Gemara means differently. It's they shaved and they told means that the Hamaynam are not the Neitah. As we mentioned on several occasions, the Gemara says in different places, when Rav came to Bogel, Rav took him up to the Gomel again. They came to Bogel, the people didn't know anything. They were talking about the Bechol, and why they didn't know the answer? They hadn't the foggiest notion of Shmiras HaMitzvot. They had to go and work the HMI to get the people to be aware. They don't interpret the Pshat, and others say Pshat, because the people in Bogel at that one period, later in history, they got the Balabatim to support the yeshivas, and they got the Balabatim to learn, and they have Yehudi Kala and Yarche Kala, and the people came and they learned from them, so they elevated the level of the religious observance of the Balabatim. But initially, when they first came to Bavel, the first generation, the Balabatim were Eina B'nai Teres. At that time, the Rabbanim were very machzor that they should wear special begotten, Talmid Chacham Shadim Tzionim, to encourage the Balabatim to give them more covering. Distress another mitzvah, cover our parents. Later, when the Balabatim will be more observant, they will know on their own that you have to be mechabit Talmid Chacham. The Kozman that the Balabatim are not so observant, but the Rabbanim will dress differently, the Rabbanim will dress like princes, like kings, so the Balabatim will realize that they'll command respect by their begotten. So the Balabatim will realize that they have to be mechabit. Mashgiach and Yeshiva is the time of Rabbanim. My time, Rabbi Lessen. Oh, we used to be mocked a lot about that. Every drasha, he would speak about the boys in the yeshiva, call themselves the name Elohim. Everybody should realize that they're princes, those are volunteers, and they go back to their communities for yontif, or for Shabbos, whenever. They shouldn't hang out with all the other boys and their childhood friends and play marbles with them or whatever. They're no longer on that low madrega. They're on a higher madrega. They should dress differently, and they shouldn't wear the dungarees, and they should dress like princes. Should act accordingly. The command respect of the others in the community, the others should look up to them. And we should show the others the way to keep prayer mixes. Not that we should be pulled down to their madrega. And we need it for ourselves also, for our own self-esteem, that we should realize what position we have. It's all based on the pasuk, as the Torah says, that big day kodesh are required for Aaron Abam, Lachav, and Lusufar. It's not only here, it's a Jinri Kula, but the time came day Malay Nate and Rush Malay Nate. Lauren Sahedrin runs out in the Pasuk that if they're not wearing the Digni Kula, the Avoda will be possible. He also is Digni Aaron Lakacha Lakaha Mali. The time should be day Malay Nate and Rush Malay Nate. But even not in the area of Digni Kula, it didn't still apply. We don't have any chelas in our kitchen, so we don't have chalozan. The Rambam already points that out. The Rambam in the Tirush HaMishnah in Paragat Chelas points that out. We don't have any more chelas in this kitchen, so from the kuchas HaGolim, the chalozan is the Tirush HaMishnah. Days of the Gemara we don't have. Chalozis. They did Rishon, no one had any Chalozis. Somehow the Chalozis disappeared in between. The man had gone. The Rambam, the Yad HaChazal, the same doesn't mention it. Just like Tzol Medinim. Chalozis doesn't say that we don't have it. Doesn't write that it doesn't correspond to reality, that nobody's wearing Tzitzit with the tape. But it's here in Shem HaShayim, he writes like that. He's doing a fair attempt, he writes that we don't have any Tzitzit there because we don't have any Chalozis. Shabbat, what about the Bikei Kunis? In the event that we're going to build this HaMikdash today, from the mouth, go to the HaMikdash, get all the Kahanim, Matthew Kavanah, but you have to have Bikei Kunis. Well, make Bikei Kunis. We'll figure out how to make Bikei Kunis. How are you going to make the Chalot on the Bikei Kunis? That's the problem. The very problem is the possibility of how to solve the Kavanah to be one of the problems is, how are you going to make the Chalot on the Bikei Kunis? What are the abode of the Gotham of the Fine Hedges? There was no favorite for the British on it. So there's a whole literature on it in Achronim. What is the status of the Chelet for the purpose of Big Big Kahuna? So the Tiferet Tzol HaMishnayis has a restoration. We used to refer you to the Tiferet Tzol HaMishnayis. From the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, before Shabbos, you have a long essay called Kalkelet HaShabbos, where you list all the bottoms of Kalkelet HaShabbos, obviously the Tobas, the Big Bears, and everything. Then you have the whole thing with Hamukhtar, the whole thing with Mahomet Lukhtar, you will know it, and the whole thing with Big Big Kuna, apropos to Masechet Yuma. Next to the left side of Yuma has a little bit about the Big Big Kuna. But he raises the question over there. Do you need Chalozim for the purpose of Chelet to be Bikuna? Because the Mishnah Malach and the Rambam and Hilchot Kli HaMikdash says that it has the same with Chelet that we needed for the Bikuna, has the same requirements as the Chelet that we needed for the Tzitzit. So just like by the Tzitzit, the Gemara and the Rambam quotes, the Gemara required that it should come from the Chalozim. So to the Chelet of the Bikuna had to come back with the Chalozim. The Tiferet Tzol disagrees with him and he says that he made a mistake. Mishnah Melech made a mistake because if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash when he describes the Chelet of Big Tikkun, it says it has to be a beautiful color blue and it should be a Teva HaMitzkaye. It should be a lasting guard. It shouldn't say. And Hilchos Tzitzit, the Rambam quotes, it has to be that special color blue. The Rambam has a machlokes with Rashi that the Tiferet Tzol also points out. Rashi and Chumash write that the color of the chalice is the color of the sky at midnight. The Rambam says the color of the sky at noon. Right on my plate. I don't know, the word has all different meanings. Yarok is yellow, brown, blue, green. Yarok, in the Gemara, Yarok is only green if it's Yarok is Harris. And whenever it says that's playing a rope, it's an open field to being anything. You can never tell. But Rashi and Chumash right, the end of Parshat, the other part of Shlach. Now she writes that Chelech was the color of the sky at midnight, and the Rambam writes in the Hilchos is the color of the sky at noon. So the Rambam in Hilchos writes that the Chelech has to be that special color, and it has to be 700 Kayim. It should be a non-fading dye. You might have said if it fades, then obviously it's an imitation, it's for Elon, it's not the real McCoy. And then the Rambam says, the Rambam says that's the definition of Chelech, and it says that Chelech is chosen, but that Tzitzit has to come from the Chalot. He doesn't say about Chelech. First he says Chelech is a certain color, certain beautiful blue color, that's 700 Kayim. And he writes that Chelech is chosen, but that Tzitzit has to come from the Chalot. So by the clear cut deal, it sounds like he's distinguishing. The definition of Chelech applies equally to the Kikun and the Tzitzit. It has to be that color blue and the 700 Kayim. But only the trailer for Tzitzit has to be from color, and the trailer for the big Kuna does not have to be from color. Fine, that's how the prayers are sorted. And then he says, and it makes a lot of good sense, because the Gemara says that we're in the world, the Gemara Menachos says, where do you get the trailer from? Is that some kind of a fish or a worm or an animal or something that swam in the Mediterranean? So when many people were traveling in Mubarak Sinai, they were interested in making the big Kuna, could they send somebody to go jump into the Mediterranean? From the desert, they said. Who doesn't believe? Who doesn't think? So how did they dye her? They did some of had vegetables. They had some other dye that was the same color. And those are less than colors, didn't say. And they used that instead. So it's a strange proof. So how did they make this from the mitzvah? The markers they did catch. The markers that they did catch. Yes, so you're basing everything on a Yerushalmi. If you saw me say that there was no Seder, then you have to take out the Seder. There was no Seder in the Mitzvah. So you didn't have to catch any animals. Why not? You didn't go fishing for the Seder. So where did they get it from?
You have to take out a couple of them. They got kosher, they got madras, they got homes, they got
open. Some of the Mishamas got kosher somewhere else. I mean, they tied down
me. The
whole table. Right. So you got to take out Seder. One of the things in Shami that Seder is not the knowledge. So they didn't have an initiative. So where did they get the animals from? So maybe they had to trade it from the tribe. Maybe they had it from before. Maybe they didn't have to catch it because they had it from before. But to say that they didn't send anybody to the Mediterranean and therefore they didn't use the Chalotim. So how did they wear Tzitzit? And the Gemara says that the Tzitzit had the trade. Not through with them. Still left from before. No, they got the news after Mamun Har Sinai. I don't know, they had pieces from before. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's Chelech. So where did they get the Chelech from? So then the first film has an adopt face and he says, just like in the big Bikuna, you can make Chelech without Chalazin. So the same sure is writing Tzitzit. He just proved that he himself said that the Shlomelov is wrong. The Shlomelov made an equation between Tzitzit and Bikdei Kuna. That just like in Tzitzit, he was Chalav. So it's true, Chalav, and Bikdei Kuna is Chalav. And he said, the first himself said he's wrong. He has a Rambam, and he'll put Tzitzit, where he says that Chalav should tell him about that Tzitzit has to be from the Chalav. Mark, when the Chalav for the Bikdei Kuna doesn't Chalav. And then he says, and I'll prove it, because in the Mitzvah, what do you think? They sent somebody to the Mediterranean to go fishing to find the Chalav? And that's the Gatov. As he said, he brought it from the tribe, he doesn't think it's so. So the Territories, they use the vegetable dye. And he says the same thing with the sisters as well. But he himself just quoted the Rambam. He made a distinction based on Rambam. So that's what the Tzavah Zulma, kinder than his Sefer. And the Sefer, they should be cured. He quotes this Territory. So he doesn't know what he's talking about. He himself quoted the Rambam to distinguish between sisters and big Kuna. How did he turn around 2 lines later when he backs out from the whole thing?
Was the Rambam still in background?
Right, so when he defines what the color is, he says, when Taylor's is a special color blue, the color of the sky is blue, and it should be a lasting color. It's not lasting color, it's not called Taylor. And then he writes another sentence from the next line, that Taylor should talk about that Tzitzit has to come from the has to come from the halal. It has to come from the halal. That's what he writes.
That's exactly.
No, it has to come from the halal. So the first told is Madaiq, that only the Chelech of Shavuot HaTzitzit has to come from the halal. The Chelech of the Yisrael does not have to come from the halal. Some 2 lines later, he writes about Kip, the Tzavah Zuma, writes and says, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he just contradicting himself. Then there's a long footnote here, there's a long note in the tiny letters at the end of this Kupa Tarechim, it's called. at the end of this essay by the Federal Show, in the beginning of the Federal Time Mowing, and the Kiki Kuna, so there's a long footnote by his son, Rav Yitzchak. All of these youth, I'm about Yitzchak, so they have a long essay by him about Avaita Tatar Kesha. So he discovered an Arab. The Arab says that there's none of you who discusses, whether the Kalev was from a kosher fish or a non-kosher fish, what kind of a fish is. So this Rav Yitzchak found an Arab somewhere that the Kalev came from the Netzav of Nechomet, one of the Shema Neshuot from Ha'amurim Maseret. Mamash a treif min Tomei. But he still thought, how could it be? I think Gemara says, Bami Medlik, on the Hushu, the Malach HaShemayim, or the Hem Tarim Ravad. He said, how can you use anything from a non-kosher, a derivative from a non-kosher animal for the purpose of Mishka, let's say Chalvita. I don't know if it's because Rafi Kvavot is called that Gemara in Dalai Kamadab Kufal. Then he says, unless he said that it was a Hayrosho, not name my love is Hayrosho. Then he asks another question. He raises the one issue of the Hukshu of Malach HaShemayim. He says, maybe it's a Hayrosho. He says, no, maybe Chalvita Van Milton. Then he raises another issue that's Hashayya, Rishma Neshrat Mahamur Matar Ramatami. Asher Matami B'madah. And it was behemoth in the time of the Magda the Master. And they told him in the time of the Magda Master, but oh, other than so. But Akum says, if you read the time of the Magda Master, maybe Bo, take stuff on that. But Sherry, in the time of the Magda, the Tech Akash, and the Gemara learns out from the Pasik that Domum is also, Domum is not called from some, that the Dam of the Sherry is also in the time. Dam of the Nevela is Machlegi, the Shani, so the behemoth drop says, so it's the Tamil Nevela. So what about the Dam from the Nevela? Machlekes B'Shan and B'Tzul. The Zul said that it is the Tamil. Then the Shani said, call me Tamil to the Rabbah. It's not the Tamil. The Dam from the Shemani Shvat. The more learns that from the Pasi, that that Dam of not call up the storm, the Dam is the Tamil to not turn. When I make something. Yitzchak is bothered with the kasha. He assumes that they took the dam in Amei. He assumes that they first they killed the tzad in the chomet, and then they took out the dam. He's bothered with the kasha, so it would be mitamei the big dekuna. You're allowed to wear tummy to the big dekuna. The big dekuna becomes tummy. Aren't you supposed to be mitire then? Can you be mitire then if it has the sherets in it? Mamash has the dye of the sherets in it. Maybe it's because that the blood bottle is alive. That's what he assumes. He assumes that they took out the dam after we said. That they died with the dam of the dam of the Savana Kosh. Yes, the kasha isn't in Thomas. He quotes a Gemara. In the end of Nida, there is a din that Tumah Belua is not Mitame. Tumah Belua means like this. There's a Mishnah Kulin in the middle of the Hemam Kasha. A woman is pregnant with a baby, and the baby dies inside her body. So the baby is Belua inside the mother's body. It's picking up, but it's Belua. So the Gemara learns out of the Pasuk that it's a Mishnah that calls man that the baby is still inside the mother's body. The mother is Toha, because she's touching the baby. And a mace is Mitami Bohal, but all the people in the Oval are talking. The same Oval as a mace and other people. Tumah Belua is the Kanisha and Adam. There's two deals. The Gemara has been included in the Zedin of the Beit HaSorim and the Zedin of Belua. And the Gemara draws a distinction that if you have, let's say, if I have some Tumah in my mouth. So Maga, Beit HaSorim, doesn't count as Maga. You learn that from a passage that but you only consider maga if it's mi baroi, in the outside part of the body. Maga beis hasorim, inside the mouth, or under the armpit, or something like that, is considered maga beis hasorim doesn't count for maga. But whatever you have something that's in time with a maga uba maso, then the beis hasorim, it will be considered the maso. Unless it's balua. If the thing is mamish, the woman is pregnant, and the dead baby is inside is inside of her. Or let's say somebody, the Gemara has another pasuk going to say somebody swallowed a ring that's coming. A ring is a kashit, like a dagger, that's makabel tum. So let's say someone died in the oil amei, there were rings. So all the rings are makabel tum. Comes out the avoda tum, everybody in the call, it's a metal ring, comes out the avoda tum. And then somebody swallows that ring. So the Gemara says, Mechum, and a whole discussion, Mechum, Behem, Am, Kasher, that not only is it called the tum of blue, as it's inside the womb of the pregnant mother, or inside the womb of the pregnant brain that the Mishnah has there, who has the name, inside the belly. And he also calls Golua. And then the Gemara has, the Gemara quotes Mishnah is, that what if you have Merav Lima of Zav? Merav Lima of Zav is Metamin. Mayonet HaZav HaMetamin. So what if these Merav Lima were absorbed inside the Kikaris? And then somebody touches the clue. So would you say that that's called Tum of Lua or not? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. It's only called Tum of Lua. It's not inside the womb, it's not inside the belly. It's still the given the Mishnah says that it may or may not be considered Tum of Lua, the Kimishain or Dami. Depending, if you can get it out, if you can get the Merav Lima out, or whatever it is that's absorbed inside the beggar or inside the clue, if you can get it out by baking it in an oven and trying to perspire and the machlit, the bella, the beer that it has inside, then it's not called balua. And if it's very difficult to get it out, then it's considered tumah blua. That is kumishayin adam. So Baruch Yitzchak Taina is that maybe you'll tell me that they took out this dam from a zav and a chomet. He assumes that it came after they were dead. I don't know why he makes that assumption later. Maybe he took it out while they were alive. I don't know. It's a good question. He assumes he took it out after death, but he says that they would, if they would have that absorbed into the big dekuna, in order to die to the god, then wouldn't it be the kame to be tzitzum? So you'll tell me that, well, there's a tumah blua, the tumah blua is not the kame, but at the time before it became nivla, it was metame the big dekuna. Unless you'll say, that's what he says, unless you'll say that it was a hirasho, or unless you say that Anachanami was Matame the garden, and then there were tables, they were matzo with the garden in the mixer, and then it became tahar. They were matzo at a time that it was balua to the extent that it was extremely difficult to remove their dye, so that's now considered tumah blua to be shein adami, and tefillah in the mixer would help. So it's lifestyle is under matzo, but that's the pshat. The point of that's the oracle. Some of the guy of the trailer came from some of the other guys came from the Shmaya Shvatim, from the Dhamma, the Shmaya Shvatim, which the Gemara said was in Tamim and Atera, not some like Dhamma and Atera, some of the Tamim and Atera. So everybody wants to say a Hiddish. But they had to be careful everything they had to do. So they have the Oris in the back of the Tereth, it's still a lot of Mishnah, it's a very good Oris. The Oris that's called the Tereth Yaakov. I know them going to the East Coast, and you always wondered what's the din. They have the Emirati Gazakim, and then the Gerrit Zahav, which is Heorah's Baitin Gabarach Yitzchok, on the Seret Yisrael, and then they have in the Seret Yankit, they're very good Heorah's there, and Mar Gisevet, all the Akredin, and the new Shairis, that don't appear in no one ever discussed anything. So this is the Seret Yaakov raises the question. He knows that the din is the Dam Shedish, if he cooked blood, it's only an Yitzchok Rabbanu. Dam is an Issa Derayit, it says what doesn't call Dam, Chayla Dam is an Issa Derayit, it's correct, but if you cook the Dam, then it's a Machlokes from the Yomar, Machlokes from the Shulchan Aruch, and we pass from the Dam Shedishlo, Eino Ever Olo. Dam Shedishlo is only an Issa Derabon and the Eden. Why? It says, not going with Zrika, I'll rather have the test. It's not called Dam anymore. So he says, he always was mistaken, what's the din of Dam Shedishlo, the Gabi Tumu? That the Dam of the Shmaya Shvatim is the Tamei Kipstoro, what if you would cook the dam? Maybe it's no longer matana. Because if you assume that dam shavishloi is ois dam, and it's not only the year to Yisra Achila, that the Yisra Achila on dam, Yisra Korach, Achila's dam, belongs to the Rabban, belongs to the Yisra Derayim. He says in the year to the Din Tumeh, he says that the whole kasha of Rabbachit, for Fogo, that was, that the dam of the Shvayna Shvatim, they would cook in order to have the dye absorbed into the big dekuna. They would cook it first. It would be dam shadishla, so it wouldn't have any din tumah at all. Maybe if you stop it to say maybe it wouldn't be metame, maybe it wouldn't be metame at all. Is that nikan hayomer? What's the reason why Gam Shadishma is not Toivu Alam Gemara? It does not learn the Zrika Gam Yemisef. What does that mean? And then when we learn here today, Rav Soloveitchik used to say the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the name of Rav, that Gam Shadishma is called Basar. What happened to the Issa Das? It's called Basar. Just like Gam Yivam Shalot Tiresh, the other piece of meat that's full of blood in the capillaries. If you want to cook the meat, you have to salt it first to remove the blood, but you're not going to salt it to remove the blood. You're going to cook it, so the dam and the chasicha, the dam and the capillaries will leave, go into the soup, into the... and only if you squeeze it out, then it becomes dam. So what if you cook this? So then Rabbi Shmuel gives to say that dam shadishlo is, you know, kibasar again. It's considered again basar. That's why there's no mitzvah dam. If you say that that's the biur, I don't think that's going to help for the tumah shmeinah shatzim. But the whole halacha of the shmeinah shatzim is that ain dam mecholos mitzarei. That the dam is considered like basar. Even after you squeeze it out, it's considered like basar. So if you're going to cook it, is bite going to be considered like basar? So it's still been the Talmud. The Basra of the Shemana Shrasim is the Talmud. What does it make a difference if you cook the dam? It's an interesting shayla. Because the dam Shadishlo loses the Tumah by the Shemana Shrasim. It's in the Ha'aretz of the Tzarek Yankov, he's mistaken. He's not sure what the difference is. One time it says that he was once in Rome and he saw the Sid had Kodesh Hashem more than one line. And the other Tanoim who were never in Rome say that it's not so. That it's not two different lines. How is it that Hashem has to be higher than the Kodesh? So how do you have it higher than the Kodesh? You have Kodesh Lamed no Mata and Hashem no Milo. What does that mean, Kodesh Lamed no Mata? You can see in the first paragraph, one says Kodesh Lamed over here and Hashem no Milo. Upside down. Mom is the wrong direction. You came up, came on top. There's Mom is one on top of the other. The Tyson says that's only the detail. It's Johnson, the wrong. Mark says that the tit was two edged boys, and Ezra means thumb, a goodle. So it was two edged boys wide, it's a little bit. Too wide over here. The Mishnah now quotes the Tosfos in Sukkah that that's only the Rabbanan. And at there, there is no height. How high the gold has to be. See, a mashuv also, but you have to be able to write Kodesh Hashem and a pituchei chalit. And it's only the Rabbanan that has to be two edged boys tall. This is way too big. Okay. So the one day in Tosfos says that the Kodesh Lamed no Mata and Hashem no Maiva was like this. And Tosfos doesn't like that. So they say that's not the Pshat. So how do you have Kodesh Lamed no Mata? And Shabbos and Daf Kama Gimel. Rabbi Natam gives the accepted shot, but there are two versions of the Rabbi Natam. Tosfos has one version, and the Rajbuddha has a different version. The one version is Kodesh Lamed Mil Mata means over here, and Hashem Mil Mata is over here. So you read it like this: Mil Mata means lower, Mil Mata means high, like over here. Mil Mata Mil Mata, but Tosfos thinks that that doesn't make any sense. So they say no, Mil Mata is over here, Mil Mata is over here. So you read it straight, like that. Then the other version is. Rajma quotes the Rabbeinu Tam is saying differently. Kodesh Lamed Milmata means further down on the line. And Hashem Milmaila means at the beginning of the line. Doesn't mean high or lower. Milmaila means the beginning of the line. Milmata means the end of the line. So you don't read from the bottom up. You read the first line and then the second line. So you have Kodesh Lamed over here. Much like the Rambam. So it sounds like It sounds like a machlekes hatanaim, what did this look like? Where the Kodesh Lamed and the Hashem were in two different lines and the same line. The Rambam writes it on two different lines, and sometimes they used to make it on one line. What do you mean? They didn't have the same tzitz in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the days of Vayishenu? They had a different tzitz? I don't know. That's what the Rambam says. Klei HaMikdash, he writes. And he doesn't write Kodesh Lamed. He writes it with Kodesh. It was Kodesh Malmato and Lashem Melmailo. So the Kesh Mishnah writes, yeah, the Rambam held that that's used in the Gemara in beginning of Sukkot. Didn't make any sense. Kodesh Lamed. You break up the word, Lashem. So the Rambam chose the gears in the Gemara in Bameisha and Daf Samad Gimel over the gears in the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkot. That's hey. So the gears in the Gemara Shem Daf Samad Gimel is Kodesh Lamato and Lashem Omar. So the bottom of the case is the bottom of the Kesh Mishnah, they point out the Magia. Magia is Maram Padua. He wrote the tiny letters, the tiny Hagos on the bottom of the Rambam. He's the Bala Magia on the Rambam. He printed a Rambam. There's a whole background to his Rambam. He printed a Rambam and he charged the nominal lecture his Rambam. So it was a fortune of money. And he added on, he printed the Rambam and the definition and some of the portion on the bottom with his Hagor. Every other page has two lines. That's the whole big thing. And then a Goy printed another Rambam without the Hagos of the Rambam. He didn't know what his Hagos, so he printed the same Rambam and they charged. They have to charge. So everybody was buying the Goy's Rambam, but you have to charge twice as much to buy the Rabbi's Rambam. You can pay much less. So the Maram Padua was the cousin of the Ramo. So he wanted the Ramo to issue a psak that you're not allowed to buy the Goy's Ramo. So the Ramo wrote him a tshuva, my dear cousin, I want it. So he gives seven reasons why it's an issue for the Jewish people to buy the Rambam that the Goy can. He gives us. That's all that's cool, and you have to let the Talmud Chacham sell first instead of the Amoris, and the Goyim also have this din. The Goy has to let the Talmud Chacham sell his merchandise first. And he says that it's an Israel Tashkim Olecha Ablo. We just had the Rashi that we just learned in Osa Lahashi Sefer Shena Muga. Rashi quoted the Gemara in Sukkot. Osa Lahashi Sefer Shena Muga Shenema Al Tashkim Olecha Ablo. So he said the old Rambam is a Sefer Shena Muga. You have to have Dr. Amaran Pada with you on. If you don't have to, then we'll let you live with an old Rambam. But if my cousin Rambam, you literally got to buy him. That's a whole list of reasons, what, seven reasons why you're not allowed to buy the Goy's Rambam. Nagel Alocha, that's copyright. So that's an important one. So the Magia, the Maran Padua, has on the bottom of that translation, he says, in our Gemara, we don't have any discrepancy between the Girsa and Perik. And the first pair from Sukkah and the Gersa Masdecha Shabbos and Bama Yisha Dal Samagim. It says the same thing in both places. Kodesh Lamed Melamato and Hashem Melamaylo. Because apparently the Rambam and the definition must have had a different Gersa and the Gemara Shabbos. That Kodesh Melamato and Hashem Melamaylo. The definition is saying that the Rambam chose that Gersa over this Gersa. What do we don't have? Exactly. How did this thing hold up? That's also tough. As a piece of where was the Tzitz also Shaila? Tzitz has 2 days. Why are Mitzchatam? Mitzchatam means over here. Tzitz has 2 days. So Malcolm Tfillin, but it has to be Dafka over here. Yes, lower down. The Gemara says that Tzayra Hayonir Beit Tzitz Mitznefes Shisham Hayimenech Tfillin. He had Tfillin on. The Kengel used to wear Tfillin in between the Mitznefes and the Tzitz. That's the Shaila. The Tzitz was here and the Tfillin was over here, and the Mitznefes was here. Oh, no, the Tzitz was here, and the Tzitz was further back, because Malkin Yesh Barosh Lanech Shnei Tzitz, one behind the other, and then the Mitznefes was all the way back. So those are the 2 days and places, whether the Tzitz is on Mitzkoy, literally, or the Tzitz is back to the Malkin Tzitz and on the year. So how exactly did the Tzitz hold up? The Rashi and the Ramban have a Machlegis on them. The Rashi says that there were three, he says you use a Tzitz. Still Taylor to hold up the tzitz. So how many tzitzim did he have? It actually says that there were three tzitzim, one from each. There was a hole, and one from each side over here, and then there was a third one on top that held it all together. And that's what the writer writes. The writer on the Rambam, right? It's like Rashi and Chumash. And the Ramban and Chumash writes like the Rambam. Ramban disagrees with Rashi, and he says the Rambam is right. But there were only two on either side. How's he going to hold it? So it must have been a very heavy still Taylor. And some Rishonim say that the Silchel is also 2 S4 S wide. It was not Silchel, it was like a strap. A heavy piece of metal. There has to be a thick piece of tape. That's what some Rishonim say, that it was also 2 S4 S, that Silchel is also 2 S4 S. The Choshen had the 12 Avonim with the Shmos Bnei Yisrael written on it. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, next to the last pair of Yuma, Perek Bolo, Kain Gadol, the Mishnah discusses the fact that Kain Gadol wear Shmoyim Gadim, Kain Hedzim wear Zavon Gadim, and if they wear the wrong mask, the wrong number of Gadim, then the Avonim will be part of the Yadim. They will receive the Yuta Gadim, and Kutta Gadim will be part of the Yadim. And you are there in the end of Yuma, next to the last part of Yuma, has a discussion how many Gadim does the Mashiach Mechamu wear. Regabi which dinim is he dinim to Kain Gadol, regabi which dinim is he dinim to Kain Hedyah. It's a hybrid, half and half here. Some dinim like Kain Gadol, the Mashiach Mechamu, and some dinim like Kain Hedyah. So the Gemara there discusses in Yuma exactly how did the Chayisha and Hanishpot work. How did the function of Easter light up? Someone would ask, they didn't ask Shaila to eat to the Heter. The Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim Hi, we just learned the Gemara, Lo Bashamayim Hi. And whenever there was a Shaila that Chacham had to figure it out, they wouldn't figure it out off in the Zuhr. But when they had a Shaila about what to do in the future, where to wait for war, things I'm going to get. I had a Shaila whether to apply for a job in this institution or that institution, whether to propose to the girl or not to propose to the girl. It's not a private issue. You go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Go to your local rabbi. You don't go to the Yom Tum. Yom Tum, you only go if it's Nagek, it's Gam Kol Yisrael, whether you should give back to Shtochim or not, or whether you should attack over there or not. The thing that's Nagek, the Gam Kol Yisrael. Private things, you don't go to the Yom Tum. If you go with them, with any Gemara, because when you do hear, Gemara has that Ponov Klapi Tenei HaShowil has to be Klapi HaNishal. The one, the Melech, or the Rosh Hashanah, or whoever it is, the Kohen Mashiach Mechamah, whoever goes to ask, has to be facing the Kohen who's going to ask the Yom Tov. Exactly what that means is also a machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says that they were facing each other, ponim keneged ponim. And God would be wearing the Shmonim Godim with the Yom Tov manim. And let's say, I'm the Melech, and I want to know, should I wage war? The laser shot comes and he wants to know, should we join the government or not? That's a major issue that we get the government. But he faces the Kohen Mashiach. And the pun of Klati, Tnei Hashor Klati Hanishal. And the Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnayot and in the Arach HaZoker, writes that that's not the Pshat. He says that the Kohen Gadol who would wear the Urim Tum would be facing the Urim. The Gemara says also that the Kohen would be facing Keneged HaShchina. What Shchina? When Shchina? The Rambam says Keneged HaOrim. So the Urim is there, let's say, the Kohen Gadol is standing here facing the Urim, and the one, the king, or the Reza Shach, whoever, is standing behind the Kohen Gadol, pun of the face of the shoyal is klapi, the back of the nishal. Ponim klapi on nishal is not ponim keneged ponim like Rashi, but ponim keneged ochor, facing the back of the kohen who has his face facing the other.
So you can explain that the kohen is so commercial with the nishal. The kohen with the other.
I don't think so. I think they both agree answer. Who the shoyal, who the nishal are. No.
Who
are
we asking for? I think from Hashem.
Ultimately, ultimately you're asking from Hashem, but I think they both agree that the words in the Gemara, the Shoyal and the Nishal, they both agree. The Shoyal is the Melech or the Mashiach Muhammad, whoever, and the Nishal is the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shmona Glam. They just argue, what does it mean? Panav Klapi Tnei HaShoyal Klapi HaNishal. Klapi means facing each other face to face. Panav Keneged Panav. That means Panav Keneged Ocha, facing the back of the other. And then that's the next line of Gemara says, Neha Nishal should be Klapi Ashkina. That's the next line of Gemara. Neha Shoyal Klapi Ashkina. Neha Nishal Klapi Ashkina. Rashi learns that means something else. I think he should have his head down facing Yoram and Tumim or something. Nothing to do with the Yoram. Rambam learns that he stands in front of the Yoram. Kain Gadol faces the other. The other one is asking him, stand behind him. And then he asks this question behind, let's say I'll be the Kain Gadol. He asks the question behind me, and then I see the atheist light up or whatever, and then I give him the answer standing like this. I give him the answer backwards. That's how the Rambam learns. Rashi learns that. Rashi learns that this is Shem. far as everything.
Because it's both the.
Well, the Lord says first, yes, that Pnei Hashal Klafi Hanishal, Pnei Hanishal Klafi Hashim.
So, of course, the Rashi is calling God or not because he means
it. No, I think that Shechina means the Urim, I think it means the Urim is Tumim, it doesn't mean the Urim. Oh no, I think that's what Rashi wants. I think that's how we learn to live in the Gemara. The Gemara there assumes that it was essential to have all the letters of the alphabet on your Tumim, because it's supposed to light up to give you the answer. But if you don't have all the letters, there are some answers that it won't be able to give. So the Gemara asks, where is there a tzaddik? There was no tzaddik. The Gemara answers that in addition to the Shmos HaShvat, we have to also write Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so you have a sign. Then the Gemara answers, where's the Tev? So the Gemara answers, you have to write Shifsei Koh. Or Shifsei Yisrael, or Shifsei Yishur, there are different gears. The Bavli has one gear, the Yishan has different, the Rambam at this seems to have had a different gear from the Gemara. That's what I said. The Rambam writes that you write Shifsei Koh. So the Chassam Sefer on this week's Tev, he quotes from one of the Gdorah Achreinim, and he likes it. Both Akash and Eteret, one of the Gdor Lachan, we asked Akash. How come the Gemara first asked about the Tzaddik and then they asked about the Tet? According to the tradition that we have in the Aleph basis, the letter Tet comes before the letter Tzaddik. Because the Gemara should have asked in order, what happened to the letter Tet? What happened to the letter Tzaddik? But he quotes the Charitas de Gateret from the Shev Yankis. I don't know exactly where this is. The Shev Yankis wrote a commentary on the bottom, printed on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov, that's called Iyun Yaakov. But it's not there on Yumet, so maybe it's in the Chulis of Yankov, maybe he heard it in his neck, but it's not there in the bottom of the Yankov. So he says the Medrash Rabbo on this Pasuk has a machloikis, how to interpret the Pasuk, the Vav wanted to hear an Ashmoz in Israel. What does that mean? So this is a Pasuk, the Vav wanted to hear an Ashmoz. The one shot in the first shot Medrash is the Vav wanted to hear an Ashmoz, that in addition to carving out, in addition to writing the names of Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., they also wrote on every stone the name of this stone. Odem, Tisidor, Bereket. So on the first stone it said Odem, Reuben. Second stone it said Tisidor, Shimon. Third stone it said Bereket, Yehuda. So according to the one opinion, who have one opinion, Al Shmoz Meitzor, the name of the stone was an addition. Al Shmoz Meitzor, an addition. In addition to the name of the Shlach, the name of the song is also engraved on the song. And you have right away a tent, but that's not a kasha. When you don't have a tzaddik, the first thing Mori asks, where is the tzaddik? Mori asks, where is the tzaddik? Because if you follow that opinion, then I want to say, yeah, means the name of the stone was engraved on each and every stone, so there's no problem with that. So the tzaddik is a problem. And then the Mori answers that they wrote up wrong in the Yaakov. Where did the Mori, where did the they dig up from sin here? They wrote, they had a kasha that they say, how can I skin it? That they wrote, but the answer is that the other opinion in the Medrash Rabbah that it says, well, what if the Yen doesn't mean the names of every stone? Well, you have to write, this is a ruby, this is a sapphire, this is an emerald. You have to write what it is. It's like the people, they buy expensive jewelry and they go show it off. This is a this and this is a that. It's not nice. And the other opinion in the Medrash is, Ruhavani means Abu Bani. Not only were the names of the Shvatim written, the names of the Yavad Rosa written. So the Gemara answered that the tzaddik was written before Avraham, because in Yaakov, so the Gemara says, oh, if so, we can have a kasha with the text. Because if you're darshaning Avraham means Avraham, then you no longer interpret Avraham means that you write both and pieces of Barek. So then you don't have the text on the text. So where's the text? So that's why the Gemara answer is out of order. So first the Gemara thought that they have an answer. There's no problem, they have an answer. The text of pieces of will solve the problem. That's what he writes to the name of the Shev Yankov. He says that it's Givaldi. He likes that answer. Why did Gemara say it? I don't know. Once they asked on Tzadik, they went in order. Once they asked on Tzadik, the Kufa itself. Either without the kasha or after the teret, the group was down. And after the teret, then you start with the kasha back again from the set. That's how we said. Some So if I understand, he quotes also another Divi Pichoch Nechem, he writes on another bar from someone else. In the Slichas that we say on Yom Kippur, so they mention there that the Me'il, that the Kangod war, was Kilayim. So he says, Makshim Ha'olam, there was no Kilayim. He says that the Me'il was all Sheish. That can be Kilayim. No, it's Tulum Techelet. It says it was Tulum Techelet, it was Jewish Chelet. There's only 10, how can it be Kilayim? How can they say in the Slich of Zayla Kilayim? But the Mepharshim asked that count. But the Chassam Sofer quotes that he heard from both Heidenheim. He's one who wrote a Tirish on Chumash and wrote a Tirish on his Tirish. He's not a printer on the bottom of the Oikar at Tirish today. I just didn't have a chance to look at it. So he said he heard from both Rabzeibolt Heidenheim. Usually when they quote something, they write in Rosh Hashanah, Reish, Zayin, Vav, Vav, Hei. That's it. Rabzeibolt Heidenheim. He's a Baal Dikduk. He always says things on Dikduk. So he said over here, Sigal Tyre, Mishkin Dikduk. And the Chassam Sofer says he thinks he's right. But it says in Yeridaya, the Ramon Yeridaya quotes that Yerushalmi, that there's an Isha Kalayim of the Rabbanon, if you wear an undershirt and a shirt, one is Semer, one is Tishon. I mean, I tell you, the Isha Kalayim don't get Semer, Tishon, Yachov, if they blend it in to constitute one day. Like you wear two different garments, I wear one sock is Semer, one sock is Tishon, that's not flying, not Menatar, not the Rabbanon. But if I wear two socks, one on top of the other, and I wear an undershirt and a shirt on top, and I cannot take off the bottom beged without first taking off the top beged. But if I wear a linen shirt and I wear an abercompass of wool, I can pull out the abercompass through the neck without taking off the shirt, the way we wear abercompass if it doesn't have any sleeves in it. So then there isn't even the need to climb into our bottom. But if you wear an abercompass with sleeves, well, if you have an undershirt that has sleeves on it. So the undershirt is made from semer, and the shirt on top is made from tishkin, so there are more quotes in Yerushalmi that doesn't need to climb the Rabban. And the only Gemara writes over there that he's 100% right on that Ramo, but that's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Apparently there's a sikhbuk about it. So they're going to, that's what it says, that it's an Isha climb the Rabban. He says something, that's what I think Ramesha Shtembach writes in one of his Gemara. That the Vilna Gaon on Orach Chaim, he says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlokes harishonim, how to pass him. There's a Gemara by Haman Likin has a machlokes hatanoim. But in the Chiyuv Tzitzis, they're writing only in a beged semer, a beged tishkin, or all mitzvah machayim, and what if you have a garment that's made of silk, or a garment that's made of cotton, is there a Chiyuv Tzitzis min haTorah wrong with the Rabban? So in the Shulchan Aruch, the machlokes in the Mechab and the Ramah, where the Shar Minim are the rights of the Rabbanon. And then I think the Rambam writes that the Midas Chassidus is always to be mocked to wear a beged shel tzema. Beged shel tishkin they don't wear, the Gemara says that the Shama made him zero, that you're not allowed to wear a beged shel tishkin with tzitzis in. It's forbidden to put tzitzis in beged shel tishkin. And Taisus points out in the beginning of Sukkot Daf Gimel that that's one of the six cases, in addition to the Yud Chel Zohar, that's one of the six cases where we pass for like the Shama against the tzitzis. That you're not allowed to put tzitzis in a beged shel tishkin. The Rosh, the Kuk was the Rosh, and that was, maybe the manager is not so. When the Rosh moved from Germany to Barcelona, he took over the rabbonet of the Rajboy after the Rosh passed away. So he saw that the Balabakim were wearing tzitzis in the beged shel tishkin. And he asked, I can make it as in, we passed like the Sham, the Gzera, the rabbonet, and they explained why. Because the whole Gzera has to do with Chelus, and the manager, nobody has any Chelus anyway, so the Gzera falls apart. But the Rosh thought that maybe it's fine. But the Maya said, we don't wear an Abitanti for the Tishn. So it's either going to be Tzemer, or it's going to be Katn or something else. So the Zilna Gaon says in Shulchan Aruch, the proper thing is to wear an Abitanti for Tzemer, even in the summertime, if you get too far, you don't. So maybe consider to wear Tzemer to make sure that for sure you're fulfilling a mitzvah their right. So the Zilna Gaon explains on the Birak Roy, explains what it's based on. Then they quote in the Maya Rav, that the Zilna Gaon used to wear an Abitanti of Katn. Are you talking? He himself explained on the Shulchan Aruch what the Chumrah of the Rambam is based on. It's not really such a kasha. The Birak Roh just, he doesn't give you his own personal opinions. The Birak Roh just explains what everything is based on. It doesn't tell you whether he agrees or disagrees. He could say, disagree. Well, then it doesn't make any sense. That's what they're about there. Makshim Ha'olam. How can it be that there's only going and the Birak Roh, or Rechaim doesn't say a word. He just explains what the Chumrah is based on, why you're supposed to wear an Abercantus of Temer. And they quote the names of one of the conflicts of Katan. So Moshe Shtembach suggests that this is the answer, that if this, they used to wear an other conflict that had sleeves on it or something, so therefore it will be, and their shirts were not cotton like our shirts. Their shirts years ago, the shirt used to be linen. I seem to remember as recently as when I was a little boy. I think the white shirt used to be linen. They weren't cut, if I'm not mistaken. So the, if you would wear an abercompers of tzemer with sleeves on it and a shirt on top of linen, so then it would be, and you can't take off the undershirt without taking off the upper shirt first, so then that would be a violation of klayim midirabbanan. So that part is only going, was marked the dafkin not to wear an abercompers of wool. That's why he had to wear dafkin.
How many people wear shirts and wool suits?
We don't wear anything that's linen. Years ago. It would be an Issa D'Rabbanan to do it. Now that everything is cotton. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, so they made rich state in history books. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, so it became much more popular to wear cotton underwear, cotton clothing and everything. Until then, cotton used to wear a lot of linen. Yeah? With woolen suits? Okay. That's according to the Yerushalmi, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that's also from the Rabbanan. That's also from the Rabbanan. For the Chatam Zeishan, this thing said they're quoted from Avol Heidenheim, that that's the Pshat. That it says, when David Slichas in Tangola wore the Eichel that was Shatnet, it doesn't mean that he wore a Me'il that was Shatnet, it doesn't mean that the Me'il was Shatnet. The Me'il didn't have any Shatnet, it was Klub Chelet. But he wore the Me'il with the Ksonas, one on top of the other, and one of them was tzemer, and one of them was fishkin, and he couldn't take off the bottom one, so I think off the top one, so there was an Issa Shatnez, but no beggar per se was Shatnez, there was an Issa Shatnez. So the Chasam Zeifer thinks that that's a good Shatnez. The Dibbe Tichach and Chaynti think that that's the correct Shatnez. There is a Machlekes Rashi in the Ramban HaChumash, what does it mean by the bottom of the Nehil? The Elfisal Shulot Rimanei Tchelos V'Agaman, etc. It says the Pamon Zohar Bissalchon Saviv. The Rashi says Bissalchon Beinehem. Every other one was a Mimon and every other one was a Pamon. Bissalchon means in between two Rimonim was a Pamon. And the Ramban says that that's not what Bissalchon means. Bissalchon means that there was a Mimon and then there was a Pamon inside the Rimon. The Rimon was surrounding the Pamon. Like Rashi in the Ramban HaChumash, what it looks like, what it was like. So I thought Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin is quoted in the Sefer that they have HaChumash, they have all kinds of wild things there. You never tell what's a Sarasim and what's not. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Chalat told me that Rabbi Shmuel Leib, the most outstanding Talmud was, of course, his grandfather. But when Rabbi Shmuel Leib passed away, his grandfather was mamish, a little boy, he was only 13 or 14 years old. But he knew all the terrors of Shulay better than anybody else. So he volunteered to write it all up, to write up the Chumash and everything. But they said, oh, this little kid, he's going to write up the Chumash. So they insisted that someone else should write it up who was much older. The other guy, Mamish, butchered it up. You look at this Talmud of Shulay, and you can't figure out the head to tell. You can't understand one word that's going on there. And the other sefer that his grandfather wrote up, who he wrote up, is Tisa Kodesh. The Chumash from another god that he learned with. Sentences, paragraphs, words, you know what he's talking about. You agree, you can disagree, but at least you know what he's talking about. The thing about Rabbi Shmuel Leib, half sentences, you can't understand a word. Someone who wrote it was such a super genius that his mind was just jumping ahead. You can't figure anything out. But he quotes there, the name of Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin, that he had a tainus. Funny question, he said, how can you say like the Ramban, that the Rimonim were covering up the Talmud Zohar, so the Zohar wasn't noticeable, it was covered up, so why didn't the Kangaroo wear the Me'il on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says only he's not allowed to wear when he goes, he can do that regular side with him, he's not allowed to wear the Zohar once, the legs are taken up Sunday, we were just discussing yesterday. But if it's like Rashi, Talmud Zohar was known, every other one was Zohar, so the Zohar was so late. You're not allowed to wear Zohar in the Kurdish HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. If you hold like the Ramban, the Zohar was covered up, so why was there any Zohar? What's the kasha? The Torah says he wears avod kodesh. What's the kasha? It would be miyut of God if he's going to wear the mill. What kind of kasha is that? Give me a kasha. And the Gemara, why? The Gemara says why he doesn't wear the tzitz. He doesn't wear the tzitz because Enka taken out that egg. That's the Gemara that's silly. He doesn't wear the tzitz because it would be a miyut of God. The Torah says he wears avod kodesh. My kasha must wear two of them. He's going to wear the tzitz. It would be a miyut of God. It would pass without waiting. The Rebbe Kivei wears that kasha anymore. He's really not sure. Kivei wears that anymore. So the note says it suggests a terrace, and maybe it wouldn't be Miyut of Gordon because it's a tashin, not really a beggar. That's how the Balaturim points out Achum, which is the very beginning of the Sefer, where it says, Ve'ela ha'bgodem asher yasu. That lists off Chosh and Vyeh when the Bill of Ksonis Tajvet Nefes for Avnei. And it doesn't say the Tzitz. How come they left out the Tzitz? So the Baal HaTzur says because the Tzitz is a Tashit, it's not a beggar. Later on, the Tzitz is mentioned. That's the way they think. But the Tzitz is not really from the Begotten. So you can't really say that's how some say it's the answer of the Tzitz. The Torah didn't require that the Kangol should wear the Tzitz. So he didn't require it, so let him wear the Tzitz. What would be the Tzitz if he wears the Tzitz? It wouldn't be a mule to the Gordon. The Tzitz is a Tashit. It's not a beggar. So sure, let's say the Kain goes and he does the Avodah, which might have got him, Avodah Gordon, and he's wearing a pair of glasses. Is that called the youth of Gordon? So he has a pair of glasses on. So then the Tzitz has in the Meshav Dov, and it's true that God, what they're doing in the true that is. He says that it's on the Rambam sheet is different from Rashi. Because the Rambam holds that you only use the Gordon if you're wearing an additional baggage from the big Dikuna. If you wear two Me'ilim, or two Ksonas, or two Mitznet, or something like that. If you wear an additional baggage, you wear another baggage in addition to the Gordon. The Rambam would appear to say that that's not a violation, that's not called use of the Gordon. And Rashi is wrong. He said, in terms of the same time, that if you wear bandage, if the bandage is big enough, I what does the Rambam do with the Gemara? So the Rambam learns that Gemara goes, he wears a bandage in between the beggar and the skin, so it's a chatzitza. Ananda maitha, not midin miyut of God. Rashi learns that miyut of God is even if it's not that you're wearing next to one of the big dikunim. So the Shabbat is if you're all like Rashi, that miyut of God is even if it's not one of the big dikunim, what if you wear glasses? So they say that the Chafetz Chaim, when he was an old man, was part of the Tzitzit Gemara. He was fighting against wearing glasses. He didn't want to wear glasses because he was hoping that they'll do the big one. Victor Stone, and he's going to be the coin that's going to do the Abaita, and he didn't want to be in the use of God. That's how the story goes. I don't know. He didn't want to be in the use of God. I mean, he thought that it is the big one of God. But some say, the Shivas, they say that that's the territory of Kivega's Kasha. Kivega is something tomorrow. What does Mar say? The reason why the Kangol doesn't wear the Tzitz is because, and Katega Nasanega, what do you have to give stories? The Torah says he wears four Begodim. If he wears an extra beg, it'll be Miyut of Begodim. That Avodah will be caught. So the Zohar says that that's the Torah on the Zillion Hashra'at's couch. That if you wear an extra beg from cloth, it'll be Miyut of Begodim. If you wear an extra pair of glasses or a wristwatch or a tachshit, with a high necklace or something, or a nose ring, or an earring, something, whatever. So the Zohar says that wouldn't be called Miyut of God. That's Tashitness. So if he wears the Tzitz when he doesn't have to, that wouldn't be Miyut of God. But if he puts on the Me'il when he doesn't have to, the Me'il is a Habegir. Of course it will be Miyut of God. So what's Rabbi Shaul like this with Kasha Tafani Kasha? And even, I don't understand, what did he say? According to the Ramban, he has a Kasha. Why doesn't the kind of God wear the Me'il after all the gold is not sticking out? The gold is not sticking out, don't worry. There's no Easter if the gold is only if the gold is sticking out. I don't understand the whole thing. But then he gives a teret. He has a teret also on the cash. So he says, what does he wear on top of the Me'il? So Kohen Gadol wears the Goshen on top. He wears the eightfold on top of the meal. And the cheshev or eightfold is the garfold to hold down the meal. So he says, since he can't wear the eightfold with the choshen or eightfold, because that has zahav in it. So the melee he can't wear the meal. Because he can't wear a beggar without a garfold. The reason why he's not allowed to wear the meal, even though the gold is covered up, and frankly, Ramban should impose a problem. Because he won't be able to wear the cheshev eifod, which is supposed to serve as a garfel on top of the meal. So if there's no garfel, it's better to walk around naked. So don't wear the beggar. It's not worth wearing the beggar. I don't understand the kasha. I don't understand exactly what the where it comes from. Chumash is bothered to discuss why the Atiyah Nisbach HaKtoris is all the way at the end. Gans to Shalai Ben Karmai. It's been way earlier. The Torah tells how to make a Mishkan, then you make the Tleya Mishkan. Then you make the Big Day Kumas. Then you bring the special Korbanos, Chanukah HaMizbeach, and for Chinuch HaKohanim. And then it says, oh yeah, we forgot to mention about the Nisbach HaKtoris. So if you are right in my brother, I'm second if you want, they all give the same answer. They say that since the Gemara says Mizbeach Mizbeach HaKtoris Shenech Amim Komo, if the Mizbeach HaKtoris is missing, nevertheless not Tiyan Torah in Komo, we can be marked the Torah on the floor. Hashem came by the others, let's say the Shulchan is not there, you can't put the Lechem Aponim on the floor. If the Nur is not there, you can't put a couple of cups on the floor in which might the Nur is there. It's not like Tanis, you have to have a Nur. And if you don't have the Mizbeach HaKitzen, you can't just be Makhtir B'mkom. Special, the Mizbeach HaMizbeach HaKleshe. Yeah, you have to put the Mizbeach there once in order to be Mekadosh the Mokom. But once you're Mekadosh the Mokom, that special spot, and you can be Makhtir Torah on that Mokom. Even if you remove the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mizbeach wasn't really considered one of the pieces of the Mizbeach HaKtoris, wasn't really considered one of the pieces of the Klei HaMizbeach. So it's just a Mizbeach, the Lachatchil, you should be marked to the Ktoris on top of the Mizbeach, and that's why it's written all the way at the end in conjunction with the HaKtoris comment every day. Kem Zechat HaZah Beker, Kem Zechat HaZah Beker, Kem Zechat HaZah by the Mizbeach, by the Mizbeach HaKtoris. Ramban himself says he's not going to count the Mizbeach HaKtoris because it just leads up to the Mizbeach HaKtoris, which is counted. Since the Mizbeach HaKtoris is counted, so Alfiyah Mizbeach HaKtoris is only a Hefshem Mizbeach to lead up to that. Even though it's not Miyake, but it's a Mizbeach Odish by Musa. If you're marked to the Ktoris on the Mizbeach, it's certainly preferable to being marked on the floor. It's a kli, but the question is it considered one of the clay hamikdash? Does it have the status of a piece of furniture that makes hamikdash or not? If it is, it really should have been before. Some of these people from Arachim, from Aristotle, have a better answer. No, all of their numbers would be off key. No, they have to count 50 letters after, 50 letters before. They got all these gematriot and everything. They are hakhtoris, where it belongs. Everything would be off kilter. No? All the cheshbonos would be off kilter. What's the pshat in the pasuk at the end of the sefer? Lasalu olaf ktoris zora ve'oilo mincha v'netas lo'isiv kvoro. What do you mean? Lasalu olaf ktoris zora? Maze ktoris zora? Rabban HaKumish says that it means if the ktoris is not kimat kunto. Ktoris has to be made with you out some money at ktoris, and if you made it wrong, there's an issue of lasalu olaf ktoris zora. Friend Ktoris. The Moreh has a different shot. Rashi says, Shum Ktoris on the dog, and Kulam Zoris Lark, what's he do? Why is the Kai Misa for fear and punishment? Walked into the Heichal and they avoided anything with Mishkan Avodah because it was possible. Chai Nisa because of the economy. Chai Nisa because of the loyalty, the Shah, and they say there. The question also, how do you know that it's Chai Nisa again? Wouldn't be Chai Nisa. I think that's how some learn the Pshat. Chai Nisa just means because it's a Knisa Rekon, it's a Dir Rekon. Anyway, the Gemara says like Rashi. The Gemara says in the Nasa says Rashi. Any Torah on the dog, or the Gemara says it's a Torah, if the Torah is not purchased, it's not Sashefa money, then it's called Torah Zor. It's the same, it's Torah on the dog. It's the same way the Torah is supposed to be. But it wasn't purchased with the Masa Shekel money, so it's not Pasha for Turk. There's an Arachaim HaKodesh HaKunesh has on the Pamon Zohar Rimon, Pamon Zohar Rimon. Aaron, the source, Nishma Paul of the Vol, I thought it was Nash under the taste of the Lo Yamut. What is that the Lo Yamut? So the Rahman HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if he wears a Me'il and he doesn't have the Tamon, he's a holy Imam, or doesn't make noise, he didn't make the Tamon and the bells don't make the right noise, so then he's Chai Mitzvah Dei Shaman. If we would have said, I would have said, no, it's Chai Mitzvah Dei Shaman, because he's Mechus of the Gordon. Mechus of the Gordon is Dina Kizar, and Zah Shavar is Chai Mitzvah. No. He says, no. Separately, so he seems to learn that the Tamon, the holy Imam, is not Ma'akev in the Me'il. The deal is kosher even if it's missing the Talmud Zavimah. But it's a special deal. Ishma called the Vohar HaKodesh, when it goes into the Hechon, the Vohar HaKodesh, the Tzeitzah Velo Yomim. Special Mitzvah Shemaim, if he wears the Mil, which is kosher, it's not Ma'akim the Mil, but if he goes into the Hechon without the Talmud Zavimah, it's Mitzvah Shemaim. And the bright thing, Matech, is the success that the Torah has in Tzahed about Pedal, that lifts off the Elo Shemit, and lifts up all the people who did Averis, and the Yemi Tzeshma, doesn't lift this off. A person who does, it says, Mechus of God in, and he says, we use the God in, and that lifts up all the people, doesn't lift off missing, Tzahmon, the Avri, no, it's Yemi Tzeshma. The Rechaim HaKodesh, the purpose of that, the Pshat in the Torah. There's a Gemara in Yuma, but the Gemara speaks about Chavi Ushan Shal Yisrael, that they can enter into the Beta, they have access, and there's no need for a Shliach. What does that mean? They have access to who without a Shliach? Very obscure remark. So Rashi says, we can daven without an intermediary. We don't have to, the Goyim doesn't have to go to the Kala. We go directly to the Baruch. We don't need anything. The Gemara has nothing to do with Karbonim. It goes on Tfilah. Rabbeinu Hananel doesn't go in like that. Rabbeinu Hananel learns on that Gemara that it goes on Yom Kippur. Lucas, the Chaviv, is a B'nai Yisrael on Yom Kippur, because it's a human. Passes into a human. Even though the member doesn't say a word about you, it just says, Rei Chaviv, Usum Shai Yisrael. That there's a chavivus of Yisrael on Yom Kippur is that all year long you need the nishma kolah b'vo ala kodesh of the taste of Olam Yomer. You have to sort of knock on the door. You have to make noise before the kohen gadol goes in with the before the kohen goes in. That's why you have to have the talmud to make noise. And on Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear the meal and he goes into the kodesh hakadosh and he doesn't have to make any noise. But that demonstrates chavivus of Yisrael on Yom Kippur. That's how the Rabbeinu Hananel. Understands that, you know. So in the Chalap's Uncle Sefer, and the Avnei Shoham, he says, why didn't Rashi learn that pshat? Why didn't Rashi learn that pshat? The Lashon HaGemara, so Tosfos, both pshat don't fit in well. So if he would have a third pshat, I'd be happy to hear a third pshat. He says, what prompted Rashi not to learn the pshat? After all, Rashi knew Rabbeinu Hananel came before him, why didn't he learn like that? He said, he couldn't. So there's another Gemara, another daf in Yuma, that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went in with the Kaf Machta to the Kodesh HaKadosh in order to be Machta the Torah. So the Machta, he had the Torah, that is the Maloi Hak, Maloi Chokno, Torah Tam and Dada. So the Gemara says that the Kaf had a Nishtiyak or something, a foreign word, some kind of a thing. All year long they didn't have a nishtiyah. Then Yom Kippur had a nishtiyah. What's that nishtiyah? So Rashi learns pshat that all year long when the Kohen Gadol walks around, he wears these tamonim in order to make noise. The nishma kol of the Lord HaKodesh. On Yom Kippur he doesn't wear the meal. When he wears that dog, he doesn't wear the meal. So they had to have something else in order to make noise. But they had a special bell or a special thing that made noise on the kaf on Yom Kippur. That it should also make noise on Yom Kippur. The Rashi learns that Gemara boom the hepa from the Ram. You can't say, look, Benet Yom Kippur, Chavibusim Shal Yisrael, that we don't need to make noise. You don't have to ring the bell before we walk in, just walk in unannounced. Not true. The Gemara says they specially instituted on Nishtiyak to make noise on Yom Kippur because there was a lack of Tamon. How does the Benet Hanan learn that, Shem? Then he points out, Rabbi Moshe Leib Shachar points out in his paper, that Taisa Tanai Gemara, the Nishtiyak, quotes the Benet Hanan has a different shot there. But on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to go in with the Malo Amachto Gachle Yesh Me'alam Ezbeach and Mitnei Hashem. So it was burning hot. So the arm of the Kli, if he's going to hold this another it's going to hold it for a minute or two, it's going to get burning hot, it's going to burn his hand. So the nishtiyak was a special cover, like a pot holder. When your mother cooks on the fire, and then it sends burning hands when she holds the pan, and you have a pot holder. So the nishtiyak was a special cover of leather or whatever, that he shouldn't burn his feet. And gone to the different shot. That's Rabbi Halal is free to learn the other pshat and the other gemara. That Ruchavi Usum Shal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, that he governed without making noise. But this din of the Nishma Kolo, the Loyal Verse, doesn't apply one day a year on Yom Kippur. And Rashi disagrees, says, no, it applies every day of the year. And when there's no meal with the Talmudim making noise, then you have to have a Nishtiyak to make the noise. It's a special din. The Beit Yosef in Hilchas Sefer Torah quotes Rabbeinu Manaya. That not only do you have to stand up when you see your Sefer Torah being carried, he says, even when you hear noise that they're carrying your Sefer Torah, you can't see it, okay, it's very crowded, and you just hear the noise that the Sefer Torah is being carried, you also have to stand up. He demonstrates this when he marked in Kiddushin, the first Perek, that Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nohar, he was blind, so he couldn't see. Someone had to, his parents would walk by, he would hear the noise, he wouldn't see that they were coming, he would hear the noise of his mother's coming, so he would stand up. So the Rabbeinu Manaya says that just by standing up to your parents, you have to stand up when you hear the noise.